just watching my mom work so hard to provide for my sister and I and give us like literally the best of everything and travel and all this, I wanted to create something that could generate wealth, that could generate security for me and my family and create that. And I saw that in having a business.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews-Okome. So let's get started. This episode of Side Hustle Pro is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that has revolutionized its products to create an insanely comfortable sleep experience, one night at a time. Get $50 off select mattresses by visiting casper.com/sidehustle and using promo code SIDEHUSTLE at checkout. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Today in the guest chair, we have Candace Idahan, the founder and CEO of New York City's Bed of Nails Nail Bar, an unconventional co-ed salon offering designer nail products, a chic atmosphere, and unwavering quality manicures. Mesmerized by art and beauty since childhood, Candace has utilized her passion and education to not only become a successful freelance celebrity manicurist, but also a driven entrepreneur. Her business and nail services have been commissioned by the beauty and entertainment's most prestigious brands, from commercial photo shoots to fashion week. She's been featured by some of pop culture's favorite websites, including Essence, Refinery 29, and Harper's Bazaar. Candace was also named a Tory Burch Fellows finalist and education program participant. What I love about Candace is she's not only ambitious, but relentless. Once she set her mind to open Bed of Nails, there was no stopping her. And she opened in a prime location in bustling and expensive Harlem, New York, at the young age of 25. That is just incredible to me. But I won't spill any more beans. Let's get right into the episode. So welcome to the guest chair, Candace.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you. So I want to take it back to your earlier days. Do you remember when you got bit by the entrepreneurship bug?
I do. I remember being bit by the entrepreneur bug. I was very, very young. I want to say I was in maybe the third or fourth grade. A part of just even my story, I used to sell candy from my desk when I was in the fourth grade. And like that line where you would have your pencils lined up, I had my quarters, my dimes, my nickels, my pennies, and I had candy. And I was like, I need to figure out how to make money. And I would just sell candy until I got in trouble one day. My teacher got a hold of what I was doing and made this whole lecture. And like, if you aren't kind enough to give candy to your friends, then you shouldn't be doing anything else with it. Like, it was so like discreetly trying to tell me, stop selling candy from your desk, Candace. So that was one. And just as I got older, I remember one year I tried to sell my sister a Christmas gift because I had this bag that she really wanted. And I was like, well, I can sell it to you for Christmas. And I got in trouble also. Like, why are you trying to sell your sister a gift? Like, what's wrong with you? So I definitely had like these moments of like, I just need to make money and I need to figure out how. And then as I got older, like I would go to Costco and like buy tubs of cookie batter. And then I would sell cookies at my mom's job. I made bracelets and sold them at her job and sold them to friends. And, you know, for Christmas, for at least 3 years, I was begging my parents for a cash register. They never bought it for me, but I did get a cash box. So they were like, I'm not spending $300 on a cash register. Like, what are you doing? And they bought me a cash box, which just needed like a little combination. And I would always play store, play cash register. I made fake money. Wow. I did, funny enough, I think I was in like the seventh grade. I didn't know that, I probably shouldn't say this, but I didn't know that copying money was a federal offense. And I'm at my mom's job and I'm like asking people for like dollars, fives, tens, so I can like make copies and make play money so I can use it in my cash box. And
wow.
Then one of her employees were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm making money from my cash box. And they were like, you need to stop right now and I'm taking you to your mother. And my mom was like, what is wrong with you? And in my mind, I'm like, I'm making copies of money. Duh. Like, I need to put it in my cash box. So wow. I can play cash register. And what then my mom was like, you cannot do that.
Was there anyone in your house who was an entrepreneur? Like, what inspired all of this kind of business savvy?
No one was actually an entrepreneur. My dad, when he was younger, he dipped and dabbled in like different like forms of commerce, but like nothing substantial. Like, it wasn't his goal to like be an entrepreneur. He's actually an attorney by trade. But the passion that I had, like, it was there in like bits and pieces and ways, but no one was actually an entrepreneur. That was just, I guess, my love for money and like the exchange of commerce, like I buy and get and buy and sell type of thing.
Amazing. Okay, so you eventually go down kind of a traditional path, right? You went to school. Mm-hmm. What was your initial thought about what your career would be?
Honestly, I was the kid who wanted to do everything and anything. Like, I would wake up one day, I want to be an astronaut. Oh, I want to be an FBI agent. Oh, I want to be this. I want to be that. Like, every day was something else. So it's just my sister and I, and she was always the one who knew. Like, she knew that she wanted to be an attorney since we were kids. She knew she wanted to go to Harvard, and it was exactly that. She's an attorney now. She went to Harvard undergrad and to Harvard Law School. And for me, I was just like, yeah, I don't know. Wherever the wind blows today, that's where I want to go. And I just, it took me a while, and it's funny because when I did finally go away to school, I did the traditional route, as you mentioned. My mom mentioned that I should study business, and I was like, you crazy lady, like, I'm not doing that. And here I am. When I originally went away to school, I wanted to do pre-med. That's what I was thinking that I was going to do, because it was always this line of, I loved helping people and like taking care of people, but then I also loved like fashion, beauty, making money, like this entrepreneurial spirit was, like I mentioned, was always in me, but I couldn't like marry those two together. And as I was in school and I realized, yeah, my life is not about 14 years of college or of education to become a doctor. So after 2 years, I was like, yeah, we're going to exit stage left. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. But I was always into history. That was always my favorite subject. So I was always taking history classes along with science. And once I decided I wasn't doing medicine anymore, I just stayed with history just so I could graduate. It was like, I don't want to be in school forever. And it was there, I might be stepping ahead, but it was there that I found my business class, which eventually got me to into the path to create a Bed of Nails. I went to the University of Maryland, College Park, for 2 years. And then I came back to New York, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I actually wanted to drop out of school. And I, like, went to dinner with my parents and sat them down, like, okay, I have the plan. I'm going to tell them I'm dropping out. I'm going to figure things out. And then we'll see where school picks back up in my life. And we're sitting at dinner. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I want to go to school. My dad was like, did you waste my time to bring me here to tell me that? You're bugging. Like, you're going to school, so I don't know what we're sitting here doing. And my mom was just like, absolutely not. That's a hard no. So I suggest you let me know how much your books are going to cost and figure out what classes you're taking next semester, because you're going back to school.
Well, shout out to supportive parents.
And I have, like, my dad's Nigerian, my mom's Jamaican, so I don't know.
Okay,
like, that's
it all makes
just,
sense. I didn't know that.
Right.
So did you transfer to a New York school?
I did. So after being there for 2 years, I came back to New York, and I ended up going to City College. I'm in Harlem. It's in Harlem. It's one of the well-known CUNYs, and it's actually a good CUNY. And they have the Sophie Davis Medical Program. So I said, well, just in case I may still want to do medicine, let me place myself somewhere where it'll still be a viable option. So I went there, but same, once I got there, I was like, yeah, no, I still don't want to do medicine. I just want to graduate. So it was one semester, I think it was like maybe two semesters or three semesters before I was actually going to graduate. I just needed an extra 3 credits on my semester, on my transcript. And I was like, well, let me figure out what to take. There was a Black Studies class that was open. That was my first time ever taking a Black Studies class. And I was like, well, there's no description. And I was like, I'm Black. This should be easy. Like, that was literally all I see, my thought process. Like, how hard could a Black studies class be? So I took it, and the first day of class, it was the professor was introducing himself, and he said, well, this is going to be Black business and entrepreneurship. Oh. So I was like, okay, wow. And I was like, there has to be a God moment, because it literally, there was no description for the course. It was just numbers. It was 312 Black studies. That's it. They didn't have any information. And the reason being was the professor, that was the first time that he had ever taught that course. And he had just created the curriculum for it. So he didn't even know what he wanted to name it. So he didn't submit a name for it. I just took it like, well, I'm Black, so we should figure this out together. And that's where I came up with the plan. It was between the nail salon and the shoe store. And I was like, well, I love beauty more. So I said, well, let me just create a business plan for a nail salon just to get an easy A. Like, this, I can do this with my eyes closed.
But why nails? Were you doing nails before?
No, actually. So I went to Catholic school my whole life, and in high school, nails were really popular because we wore uniforms. I went to co-ed high school, so nails were really, really popular. And it was like, well, what are you doing this week? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. We all pretty much went to the same salon and saw the same girls. And when I went away to college, like, that love was still there. But that started from when I was a kid. My mom and I would, like, do facial masks. And while I was like young, and like we would polish our nails together, and I'll put a little stickers on. So like she introduced me to like beauty and like self-care and taking care of yourself and always feeling good about yourself. And that just continued on until when I was in high school, and then I was into nails. And then when I went away to college, that was like one of my things that I enjoyed doing for myself. But then I couldn't find a really good nail salon when I was in Maryland. So I came back to New York and I was doing my nails, same thing. And then I took this class, and my manicurist at the time, she had a baby and was moving around, and it was just so hard to find somewhere that was really, really good. And that's what kind of sparked the idea of, you know what, why don't I actually just invent a nail salon? Like, I love doing this. I can't find a great place. I think the last salon I went to was actually a Black-owned salon, and I had yellow nail polish on my nails, and the nail tech took the polish off of my nails and was like, oh, I think you have a fungus. And I looked at her like, lady, you just took yellow nail polish off my nails. My nails are stained. Like, even I know that. And I was just like, you know what? I have to run somewhere. I didn't manage my time while I have to go. And I just like never, I didn't do my nails that day. And after that, I was just on a hunt to find a really good salon. And while I was in school, that's when I was like, well, you know what? I can't find a nail salon. I love getting my nails done. How hard could this be? Like, why don't I just create this idea? At this point, I had no idea that I would actually do this. It was just, well, this might be fun. Like, if I'm going to create a business plan, I want to do it for something I'm actually interested in. Right. And as the semester went on and I learned, I was like, I could probably really do this. Like, I never wanted to work for anyone. I had, at that point, never really had a job. Like talking like summer things and like that. So I just said to myself, well, why not like really do it? So as the semester went on, I ended up enrolling in nail school because I said I wanted to be an owner and a boss who knew what I was doing, not just a dictator telling people what to do and relying on someone else's information. So I went to nail school. I graduated from nail school. I graduated from undergrad, and I just jumped into the nail industry.
That's amazing.
Thank you. I wanted to do make connections and like just expand literally my borders. And I wanted to do Fashion Week all over the world. Once I got a taste of that, my nail school teacher, Ms. Lloyd, she actually geared me towards that, which I kind of knew a little bit about that, but she was the one like, you should jump into Fashion Week and try to do that. And she gave me a couple contacts. And from there, like, I just started moving, and I did Fashion Week, which was my goal all over the world. I've done New York, London, Milan, and Paris several times, and just making contacts.
Yeah. So let's take a step back for a minute. I would love to know, okay, mm-hmm. So you have this awesome idea and you knew you wanted to make a nail salon that was unique. What is so unique mm-hmm. now about Bed of Nails? Is it the unisex concept?
So there's many things. I'm huge on like customer service. Like that's where my starting point is. Always, every single day, it's just customer service. And I think a lot of businesses lack in that area, especially where we are, like in Harlem, like we're not known for customer service. Like most people just hate becoming or being patrons in Harlem, because it's just a very poor customer service in a lot of places. So just aside from anything, like I focused on that, and everything blooms from there. And I wanted it to be more like a concept salon, like where, as you mentioned, it's gender neutral. So men and women would feel comfortable in a salon, because just looking at who my clients were before I opened the salon, I was doing a lot of home visits, and I would go see clients and friends and from varying industries. I saw some producers and things like that. So they had different hours, and that's kind of where my at-home like nails and bed services came from, because I would literally be in people's homes, and some of my clients would be laying down with their hands like hanging off the side of the bed, and I would do it that way, you know. And it was really just blooming into the actual business. I'm looking at things that they need. They want customer service. They want to feel like they're not in a salon. They want to feel wine and dine in the sense of, you know, offered beverages, water and tea when they come in. It doesn't smell like a nail salon. Like, so I do have moms who want to come in and bring their kids in and not feel like, okay, I'm about to kill my child with these fumes. You know, our salon smells, actually it smells very heavily like perfumes and fragrances. We have plugins, we have diffusers, and people always come inside and like, it smells so good in here. And I'm always like, yeah, it should. You know, we don't use any acrylic, so we use hard gels, which can achieve the same result as an acrylic, because I don't want those fumes there. We have a lot of pregnant women or just moms and children, and I just don't want to be breathing that in all day myself. So we try to cater to a type of a demographic that does appreciate those things. They appreciate being able to speak to their nail tech, which is another thing that I wanted. There's so many times that, you know, you go get your nails done and you're just sitting there staring, or you're on your cell phone the whole time. Like, I want to be able to unwind and relax while I'm doing this, you know, this beautifying service. I don't want it to be another stressor. I'm like continuing my day inside of the nail salon. Like, I want it to be a respite. I want it to be a moment where I can like debrief and relax and maybe have a conversation with someone next to me. And it's funny, a lot of our clients end up making friends with clients in there, and they have schedules together like, oh, I'm booking my 2 weeks, you're going to be here in 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
But I love that, because people don't get spoken to anymore, you know, like mm-hmm. you don't find out how people are doing anymore. There's no, hello, how are you doing? What are you up to? Like, you know, people miss that, and they want to feel connected to someone else in another way. Like, you're at work all day, no one's speaking to you, they're just demanding things from you. You go home, you might have a spouse who still is not really checking in and seeing how you're doing. You want to have that. You want to have a little girl's time, a little, you know, moment where you can share and open up and feel like, okay, I'm not being judged, and then go on to your day. Right. So we want people to literally come inside of the salon and forget outside. Come inside and experience like this beautiful smell, this beautiful, bright, vibrant space, right. Make some friends, chat, get a beautifying service, feel good about yourself, and then you can go back into the world.
One of the things that really impresses me so much about you is you started this all so young. What were you, 25? I mean, how did you go about mm-hmm. it, from having this business plan to securing real estate in Harlem, one of the most expensive places out there?
Yeah, it was literally hustle, as you say. From when I finished my business plan and I graduated from school, this was always my goal. So people without vision will perish. And I kept the vision in my mind, and it was to have a brand. I knew that I wanted to travel and do freelance work and work with celebrities and all this, but I knew that was something that would be lasting, that could take care of me, would be having a brand. So when I knew that at a young age, and just watching my mom work so hard to provide for my sister and I and give us like literally the best of everything and travel and all this, I wanted to create something that could generate wealth, that could generate security for me and my family, and create that. And I saw that in having a business. And as I jumped in and started freelancing, working at different salons, making connections, I was like, well, I need to figure this out. And I had a business plan in hand, which was living like my roadmap to figure out how I was going to do all of this. I just really like hustled and grinded. Every day, it was funny, like I would tell people like, oh, I'm opening tomorrow. I didn't have a single location. I didn't see a space yet. But I just knew we opened tomorrow. Yep, by the end of the week. And like literally, I would say to everyone, and my friends now laugh at me, because they were like, yo, you were crazy. But it was literally that drive, and I would work, I saved. I remember the summer before we opened, I literally bought nothing for myself, nothing at all. My shoe, one of my sandals that I wore all the time, like literally had a hole in it. Like, so I was like, I'm not buying anything. If someone wants to buy me something, no problem, but I'm not spending any money. I need to save everything. And I would just share my idea with people. And it was ended up being family who bought into my vision and invested in me. And it was through money. Like, I didn't have any like traditional lending. It was just family that saw what I was doing, saw my passion for it. They looked through my business plan. And a lot of times, like, I didn't even have to show it to them. I could spit out information and numbers and my ideas and concepts. And they were like, you know, and I believe this. Like, I think this can work. And they ended up giving me money and investing in my vision. And that's how I was able to open with money from family, money that I saved up from working really hard. And just friends being like, you know what? I know that you can do this. Here's a couple dollars. Like, I may not be a bunch, but here's a couple dollars. And they would just invest in me in different ways. They would go find this, like, oh, you should get this for the shop. And, oh, I went here. I don't like that they do this. Don't do that there, but do this. And they would literally invest in any way that they possibly could. And it was literally like a family of support that got that for me. And this space that I'm in now, it's so funny. One of my closest friends, I was struggling to find a space. I found one I really liked, but the landlord was being crazy, and then that ended up falling through, and I found another space. And at the space I'm in, I didn't want to see it. And I was talking to my friend about it, and I was like, I don't want to be there. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't really know. She's like, girl, just going to see the space doesn't mean that you signed the lease. Like, go see the space and stop being crazy. And I was like, all right, fine. And then I went to see the space, and I was just madly deeply. Like, I just fell in love with the home, and I went into the space. So I always joke, and I'm like, well, she was the reason why we're here.
Oh, great.
Because, yeah.
Hey guys, it's Nikayla here with a quick word from our sponsors. Okay, I have a side hustle hack for all to hear, and it's called Skillshare. You want to know how I grow as a businesswoman? I keep learning. There's not a week that goes by that I'm not checking out a refresher class or a deep dive tutorial, and my go-to is Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning platform with over 18,000 classes in business, marketing, entrepreneurship, you name it. So whether you're trying to start a side hustle or scale your business, Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. In the last month alone, I've learned how to set up my email capture landing page on Squarespace and how to boost my email marketing using MailChimp, all through Skillshare. And now, Skillshare has a special offer just for my listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents. That's right, just 99 cents. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/hustlepro. Again, go to Skillshare.com/hustlepro to start your 2 months now. Y'all, the side hustle grind is no joke. When you're getting up early and staying up late just to work on your business, sleep can be pretty elusive. So that moment when you finally jump into bed is like heaven, especially when you have an amazing mattress like Casper. Casper's mattresses are designed by humans for humans. Listen to these dope features. Casper mattresses combine multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface. Plus, they have this breathable design so you stay cool at night and it regulates your body temperature throughout the whole night. And buying the Casper is super easy. You just order online and it's delivered to your door in a compact box. Plus, it includes free shipping and returns for the US and Canada. Casper even offers a 100-day trial so you can sleep on your mattress before committing to it. So go ahead, check out Casper today. My listeners get $50 off select mattresses by visiting casper.com/sidehustle and using promo code sidehustle at checkout. Again, that's casper.com/sidehustle and promo code sidehustle. Terms and conditions will apply.
Now, two things that you mentioned. Number one, I was talking to someone and they talk about the fact that sometimes we take for granted when we're raising money that family and friends around, you know, we think, oh, you don't want to burden people. Our family doesn't have a lot. But those $1 or $2, like, things add up when you really get a mass group of people. And second, so when you saw the space, did you also start thinking of things like foot traffic, like what else is around it? What other considerations did you make to know that, okay, this is a great business location?
So I knew that it was central, which made it great for just the way that Harlem is accessible. I wanted to be central. We were really close to two train stops on two different lines. So we're right on the 2-3 line, and we're also on the BC line, which are avenues apart. So I knew people could get there. And Harlem is like very bus heavy. So a lot of people do take the bus, and there was great visibility. So I'm on 7th Avenue or Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard. Those who are from Harlem call it 7th. But I'm on 7th Avenue, and you can actually see it like clear as day while you're on the bus, which is great. Like it's on a very wide, broad avenue. So people are able to see it, and just visibility is very important. And it not being too far, too hidden from a train stop is also really important.
Right. And that's definitely happened to me too, where I love, love, love a beauty vendor, but they are just out somewhere where I'm like, this is not central. I can't make it. I'm just going to have to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Did you have to do a lot of transformation to the space?
I did. I did a lot of work in that space. It was literally like once I walked into the space, I could see where I wanted everything, how it would grow. So there was rooms up. So it was like an office before I got in there, and then a place that sold hair, and the place that sold hair never took down pretty much the structures. So it was very all over the place. It was just all over the place. So we have an exposed brick wall, but that was covered by something. The floors were this weird brown kind of color, but stained in areas. There was actually nothing in the bathroom. There wasn't a sink and toilet. There were holes in the floor. There was this thing I call the chicken coop, but I think it's where she would hang dry the hair or something. But it's this big little case. It looked like a chicken coop. Like it had mesh like rails on it. It was just weird. So we had to take all of that down, redo the floor so it and stain it black. I recreated the bathroom completely, which is like one of my favorite spaces in there. The bathroom is all black with chandeliers inside. And one of our favorite things that clients love, the bathroom is an actual hand, the bathroom doorknob. So you have to shake the hand to go into it.
And I love it.
So a lot of it I did have to create. We had to create our pedicure stations, the risers. We had a woodsman come in and build those. Yeah, so there was a lot of work that went into the space. Knowing what I know now, like I always said, I'm going to write a book for young entrepreneurs.
I was just about to see.
Age, but
yes.
Just, yeah, a state of mind, because I learned so much, And, you know, being young when I started, you know, you're a little naive and you just take things for granted, but you can't do that in business. Right. There's no such thing.
And you also, you know, it sounds like you also have a very high standard. You have taste, you have awesome style. So were there things that you're just like, it has to be this way to create the aesthetic, but it's out of budget? And what did you do to offset those costs? Like, were you renting out a space? What do you do to make sure that you're always profitable?
Well, you have to stay committed to your vision, but be flexible, because you don't want to stay so committed that you don't bend and you can't see the vision at the end. You may have to jump back to jump forward. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get so committed to one idea that you can't see anything else, and that'll cause you to fail. You have to be able to grow and to evolve in different ways. And you always want to keep your plan. And that's why they always say that you keep your business plan, but it's not set in stone, because you do have to tweak it and revise things as you see. Maybe the trend in the industry may shift from where you thought you were going to go to a different area. So now you have to revisit that. Do you want to be a part of this? Do you want to be a part of that? You have to, you know, always keep your vision, but be okay with finding different avenues to get there to the end result.
Now, what were some of the first steps you took to start marketing and building brand awareness once you had this awesome location and your store was completely finished?
Well, I did have a marketing PR company work with me at the start. So they pretty much put together, of course, working together with me, I put together a marketing campaign, just reaching out to a lot of local listservs, local agencies, businesses, community groups to let them know that we were there. I even got to meet with Senator Bill Perkins just to see what if there was anything possible for a push to be. Ina Dickens came out, who our like local assembly and congressman and things like that. And we also made sure that we reached out to the publications to let them know that we were here to have them come up to the salon and check it out, see what we were doing, what we were presenting to the neighborhood. Ebony did a great piece on me. And actually, it's a lot of press from the beginning that has trickled down into other people finding us. Like, I remember waking up like 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and a friend of mine saying, oh, congratulations on your article. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she sent me the link, and Refinery 29 ranked this as one of the best neighborhood nail salons in New York City. And I had no idea that that was even a thing.
Yeah.
That was completely organic. Someone must have come into the salon, and we tried to look up the writer to see who it was in our system, and she must have come in an alias because we don't even have, like, her name in our system. So it's pretty, that was like one of like really awesome moments that, wow, like we really damn good, you know, like someone actually came in and experienced our service and loved it enough to actually rank us on that list. And we've been on the top list for the past 3 years, actually, and we've been rated one of the most ethical salons in the city, best neighborhood nail salon, best salon to get a bridal manicure. Like, we've been ranked on a couple of like really awesome lists, and they've been totally organic. But I think it's that initial push that got our name out there that, hey, there's this girl in Harlem that's doing something really awesome and new and creative.
Yes.
Like, why not check it out? And from that, things just started rolling.
Right. And Bed of Nails provides this luxury experience that you didn't get elsewhere. And, you know, it's so interesting because a lot of times when people think of New York, Harlem, everywhere from the Village, like everyone has a spot where they can get, you know, mani-pedi for $25. Like, that is what people think. But there are those people who, they don't care what the cost is. They want that luxury experience, that quality. And how did you go about identifying those people?
Yeah, so that's like a constant thing, you know, like just staying relevant, staying on the cutting edge of the trend and letting your customer know. One, I'm grateful and glory to God that I'm able to, and I always joke and I'm like, Jesus is my PR, because I haven't had a company do anything for me since we actually opened. And just watching the way that work and business has you know, prevailed is literally a testament to just our hard work, to favor, and just our customers' word of mouth and telling other friends. And we have so many people who like, oh, I'm paying for my friend, I'm buying gift certificates for so and so can come in because I love it and I love what you guys do. And it's literally been that, like the trickle down of just our great customer service. You know, we guarantee our services for at least a week. If anything happens, you can come back in and get them redone. You know, I test and try out everything that we're doing, every product that we use, to make sure it's sustainable and something that, you know, I can say, yep, this works, this is great. So I think it's just such a combination of things and people realizing who we are and what we do. Some people may be skeptical when they first come in, like, why is it so high? But once there's no smell, you see that you can communicate with your technician, you see we have top of the line polishes, you can book an appointment, you know, it's different. And I think we came on the scene at the time when people were just getting fed up of poor service.
Yes.
You know, sitting down all day and waiting for hours to get your nails done. Who's next? And this one cut me and I should be. And why do I have to sit here? And I don't like this service. I can't, why? You don't understand, but you want to take my money. Like, people were tired. Like, instead of, it's like buying a cheap blouse. Like, you may spend $10 for this shirt, but then you have to throw it out and buy the second wear. Versus, you know, you may spend $50 on this top, but you know you can keep it for a lifetime. So it's like, it's the same thing. And I have clients that realize that once they sit down and like, you know what, my gels never look like this, but I would only pay $20, let's say. And it's like, in a week, I'd have to get it done again. I'm like, well, this gel manicure is going to last you between 2 and 3 weeks. And you might have paid $45, but you're saving your time. You're not going back every week to do it. You're not damaging your nails by peeling it off and doing it every week. And by the time you do it every week, by the end of the month, how much are you going to pay versus if you just got it done one time at a reasonable rate?
Right.
So it's people, once they realize what they're doing, and like we have so many funny stories of clients who at first they're like, and then they come in like, okay, like, all right, I'm making my next appointment in my 2 weeks. And at first they're fighting, why do I need an appointment? I don't operate on appointments. I just want to come in. And then they're the same ones who are like, you guys are 5 minutes late. I was supposed to be seated at 2:00. And it's like, oh, really? Because 2 seconds ago, you didn't want an appointment. And now you becoming the appointment police.
Right.
So it's just, you know, creating, like teaching people what service is and how to appreciate customer service. And I think once people realize what they get for their dollar, they don't want to do it anywhere else.
You can't look back.
They cannot look back.
Yeah. Now, let's fast forward to the Fashion Week piece. Now, how did you start to work with these major brands and have them start to commission your work?
So I always say this, like when I speak to students and things like that, it's just really operating in the spirit of excellence. I remember when I first started, I would do a lot of free jobs. And like the first year of Fashion Week, I don't even think I got paid. But to me, the experience was validation enough, was my paycheck. And I would always, no matter where I was, what I was doing, excellent work, make sure, because whether but there was a Bed of Nails, Candace Idahan is the brand, and Bed of Nails is what follows. So I always focus on making sure I'm doing great work, no matter what, no matter if I'm getting paid or not, because in my experience, if I make a contact at one of these shows or backstage doing something, it would always translate into a paid job later. And I would always go in, do my best, and then from there I would get, you're now so cool, I'm gonna get your information, like I really like to do that, or you're really pleasant to work with, or whatever the conversation was. And later on they would call me like, hey, we need a nail tech, we need a manicurist on this job, can you come? And it would just literally trickle down to that, like my name became synonymous with great work. So it would, I would meet a makeup artist and like, you were really cool and stuff. Like, I really like you. Can I get your information? And if she got booked for something and didn't have a nail tech, they would call me. So it was literally like my work spoke for itself. And through that, I built connections and was able to literally get to all the places and spaces that I got to, because I didn't have an agent. I wasn't represented by anyone, but I got to do the best of the best. And I remember, and I always use this example, I worked with Marion Newman, who was like, one of the best nail techs ever to ever done it. And she lives in London, is based out of London. And she worked with Louis Vuitton while Marc Jacobs was the creative director, the designer there. So when he does his shows in New York, she would do his shows. And for whatever reason, she wasn't in New York. And I had only worked with her one time, and she wasn't in New York. And she called me up from London in the middle of the night and was like, hey, Candace, do you want to go to do the test with Marc Jacobs? I'm not in New York and I'm not going to be able to do it, but I can trust you to go do it. And I was like, hell yeah, I'll go do it. But it's like, that was like, to me, was like, wow, like I felt so blessed, because this person who was a vet in the game, 20 plus years, knows, sees, done everything, is back and forth between London and New York, Paris, everything. She called me. I think I was like just 26. Like, she called me to go do a test with, sitting one-on-one with Marc Jacobs. She trusted me enough and my work enough and my name enough to say, hey, can you go do this for me? And that was like, it's not me, it's my work that speaks for itself, that someone can trust me to go do something like that. So it was literally like just that, building connections, always looking out, striving for the best, trying to figure out where else I can go that could extend, you know, my experience, my repertoire, my lens, I guess, of focus. And that's why I wanted to go overseas and see what Fashion Week was like over there. What did they do? What type of nails did they do out there versus what we did here in, you know, in the States? And just really getting to experience all facets of the industry. And it was literally through great work, networking, and staying true to my brand.
Now, I understand that you've also completed some entrepreneurship programs, like the Tory Burch one, I think. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and what made you decide to pursue those particular programs, and what did you learn from the experience?
So I'm a lover of learning. I feel like you can always learn something. Like, even now I still take nail classes on different techniques and things like that. I'm on YouTube, like I'm always learning. And because I didn't actually have like a business degree. I don't have an MBA. Or by the time I'm done, I'll have finished all these programs. I feel like I have one. But I originally didn't go to school for business. So I wanted to actually gain more business experience on that side of education. So I was told and like stumbled across the Tory Burch Foundation and the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses. Actually, I was told by a client who also had a company. She has a Limation Lemonade company. And she came in to get her nails done. She's like, hey, Candace, you know, you should apply to this program. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, you know, I'm going to send you the link. It's Goldman Sachs, 10,000 Small Businesses, but Tory Burch is a part of it, and I think it'll be really great. And she was like, but you have to do it today because the deadline is tonight. And I'm like, oh, gee, thanks. So I had to, like, scramble to get whatever documents and the things that they needed to finish it by midnight after, like, working all day. So I didn't get home till, like, 9 o'clock or something. And I had to, like, figure out what they needed, get it submitted, and then hope for the best. But as we know, I was accepted after that for that deadline. And then we had to submit additional information. They approved me for that. And then we had face-to-face formal interviews. And by that point, I was like, I'm going to be in this program. What's your name? You're an advisor. Cool. Nice to meet you. I'll see you in October. Like, I just knew I was going to be a part of it. I was just get into it. And I just knew that that's where I was going to be. And I, you know, did really, really well in that program. Made some awesome connections. And even before that, I had taken a bunch of courses just from my professor at City College. He had put us in touch with like New York City Business Solutions, which I send a lot of young entrepreneurs to who just need like help and things. New York City Business Solutions, SCORE, inside of the Civil Library in the city. There's a lot of like different programs for entrepreneurs that the city does have, and I've taken so many courses in a lot of their facilities. There's a business program for new Americans. They have a lot of classes on different levels of entrepreneurship, even teaching you how to use QuickBooks and things like that. So I'm taking a lot of different things, but I jumped into more of an intensive, like the Goldman Sachs program, because I really wanted to learn the business side of things. It's really hard to operate, especially, you know, I keep going back to just being young. Like I didn't have any experience. I never worked at a job for more than the longest I was ever working was 11 months. So I've never been at a job for even a year. You know, I didn't have that experience. I didn't know how to manage people. Like I learned that you can't talk to people crazy. Like, you know, just learning, I had to take a communications class because you can't talk to your employee like you're talking to your friend, you know, like there's levels to this, you know? So I had to learn all of those things, and it's through, and even in Goldman Sachs, there's a philosophy of you don't fire people, you unhire them. So it's like learning all of these things. And I just recently graduated also from the Streetwise MBA sponsored by Columbia University and Boston University and Citibank. And that was another program that helps to facilitate just learning business side of things, like marketing techniques, learning how to scale your business, create different streams and revenues and streams of income, manage your staff, and utilize each individual person to get the best out of them and motivate them in ways. So there's so many things, of course, you know, in the business field that you have to learn on just from experience, but there's also textbook things that you need to learn so that you can put it all together and put it into practice.
You've just dropped so many amazing resources, and I'm going to link to all of them in the show notes. So thank you for that. I too believe in lifelong learning, and I love the fact that you go out there and you find these programs and then you take the time, because I know you're also working, you know, you also have a mm-hmm. personal life, but you are taking the time mm-hmm. to make sure you continue to grow. And that is very commendable.
Thank you.
So what's next for Candace and for Bed of Nails?
I'm right now working on products. That's been a goal and passion of mine for years now. And I want to create, and just being in the industry, seeing what the needs are for clients and women and men, seeing what they need. I want to be able to create that there's such a market for that, for products that actually work on problem issues between cuticles, dry hands, dry skin, finding effective products that work. So you can either take it with you to your local nail salon if there is not a bed of nails nearby, or you can even do them at home. I just recently went to the packaging expo to find some good packaging. I've already created my first product, which is a cuticle cream. And I've given it to about 15 clients to just test. And they've all rave reviews and they love it. So I'm like ecstatic about that. So that's one side. The other side, we're working on finding a new location because we actually have to move. Mm. So that's our, in the looming future, figuring that out. But I do want to start looking for other locations. I want to branch out and have several locations. That's always been my goal, to open Better Nails in this country and outside and all throughout the state.
Okay.
But I also want to, and which I was like excited about this opportunity, I'm working on doing a lot more public speaking and just speaking engagements along the ideas of entrepreneurship. I get asked so often, just via email or social media, like, hey, could you help me with like creating a business plan, or I need help, I want to open a salon, or I want to do something along beauty, and I'm just at the beginning phases, or I'm here and there. I had one seminar that I hosted at the salon, and about 15 people, I wanted to keep it small since it was my first, and about 15 people showed for it, and they loved it, and I didn't realize how much I was going to love it, and I did. And a couple of people came and was like, this is what you should be doing. Like, this is awesome. And from there, I was like, you know, I really do want to jump in and do this, because I think there's so much room, one, for entrepreneurship, and there's not that much out there for younger entrepreneurs. There's so many things geared to like older, you know, business men and women, but not necessarily to the younger crowd. And there's so many ways that you can create income. Like, no one said that you have to jump in and just, you know, quit your day job, but you can do both for a time until you figure out your plan, and just helping you get on the track to identify what your plan or your idea may be is where I want to jump in. So I want to do more speaking and just motivating for just young entrepreneurs. And I say young because I believe youth is a state of mind. So it doesn't have to be someone who's, you know, 25, but it may just be someone who this is their first endeavor in entrepreneurship.
Love it. Well, I wish you so much luck with it. We're going to transition into the lightning round, where you just answer the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
All right. Number one, what's a resource that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
New York City Business Solutions.
Number two, what's been the best business book or podcast episode that you've consumed this year?
I honestly watched The Profit.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Number three, what is a personal habit that has contributed to your success?
Staying diligent. Honestly, just staying committed to my vision and what my goal is, I believe, contributed to my success. There's so many times where people can say, oh, you should do this, you should try that, or that would be great, you can do that. And I'm like, that does not align with this vision. I can see where it's cool, but no, that doesn't work. So just staying committed to what the grand idea is and what your mission is really, really important. I think that definitely has helped.
So important. Okay, number four, what is something that you have to do every day to keep your day on track?
Read my Bible.
Okay, and finally, number five, what is your parting advice for fellow women entrepreneurs who want to be their own boss but are afraid of losing that steady paycheck?
Just start small. Just figure out one, start, create a business plan, because sometimes, actually, it's funny, one of the women who I spoke to inside of my entrepreneur class, she regular job 9 to 5. I don't mean to say regular like that, but she has a job, a 9 to 5, and she knew she wanted to start her business. Like, I want to do this. And once we went through the exactly what you need to start, all the work that you need to put into it, she realized that she just wasn't ready for that at this point. Like, the idea was great, but in reality, she just wasn't there. So I would say start with, you know, creating a business plan, really understanding what it's going to take for you to get from point A to point B. If you can find a mentor or find a business that you can shadow, you may not even need to like speak to someone physically one-on-one, because I don't necessarily have a mentor. I have a couple of business models and things that, you know, people I can speak to, but like a couple of business models and things that I pull from different places. And I watch like, what was the path that this person took? What was the path that that person took? How did this get here? But look at if there's someone in the industry or something that you can identify with, maybe study how they've gotten to where they are and see, like, can you do anything similar? Like, what in your line or your field may allow you to get to where you need to be? But really start with creating a blueprint or the framework for whatever it is your business is or your idea is. And then take your steps from there. Meet with different business advisors, see what they can help you tease things out with to get you to the next step. So just start small, like small steps get you to your end result and get you to the end of the game. And it does it in a healthy way.
You're so right. Such good advice. So Candace, where can people connect with you after this show?
You can find me on my social media page at Candace Idahen. You can also find me online at CandaceIdahen.com. Well, I'll be doing a lot more updating to my website. And you can also follow the Bed of Nails page at Bed of Nails NYC.
Love it. All right, guys, there you have it.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you want to hear more from me, head on over to sidehustlepro.co/sidehustlecorner to get my weekly Side Hustle Diaries chronicles about my own journey from passion project to profitable business. And if you want to find me online, I'm at Side Hustle Pro on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Don't forget to join the Side Hustle Pro Facebook community. Go to sidehustlepro.co/mastermind. And as always, if you love the show, do me a favor and subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.